sins that are mentioned being unworthy of being in the bride. And that's why I'm bringing out these some things said in these seven churches, kind of a guideline for 2023 churches. Nothing has changed. God still hates sin, and God still judges rebellion. And you remember when we started out, we spoke of the righteousness of the saints a few weeks ago. God is going to take unto himself a bride, and they're going to come from Sovereign Grace Baptist churches. And faithfulness is a requirement as far as being in the bride. I would say that the biggest part of divorces and so forth in the world today between a man and woman come from unfaithfulness on one part or the other. And it's inconceivable to think that Christ is going to take unto himself an unfaithful bride. I've heard people argue, well, you know, as far as that goes, how could anybody be in the bride? Well, I ask myself quite often that question, how could I be in the bride when I look at my life? We must understand that at the judgment seat of Christ, there will not be one perfect individual. We know that. And we know there at the judgment seat, all those things that we have done contrary to the Word of God while being saved, members of the Lord's churches, that'll all be burned up in the fire. But still, nonetheless, there is that requirement for faithfulness unto God. So, you know, the bride of Christ is not, or should not be, just a something to study, just to be studying, but something to study because our future in heaven depends on our works. Now, I know that may sound a little Armenian, but I'm talking about the works of those who are already saved and their sins have been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. The Church of Pergamos in verse 12 of chapter 2, we read, "And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath a sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelt." The church at Pergamos was in a very difficult area as far as serving God. Here, Jesus refers to that area as where Satan dwellest. In Pergamos, there was all sorts and types of idolatry and idol worship going on. The people in that area, of course, were very sinful and very wicked and very much opposed to the work of God. Very difficult area. We hear people nowadays talk about all of their difficulties. I didn't have anybody try and stop me and cut my head off this morning coming to church, and I don't guess you all did either. I didn't arrive to find a group of people with clubs in their hands and threatening me when I came in the door. I arrived peacefully and unopposed by anyone around. We live in a very easy age comparatively with those saints there at the Pergamos Church. I say this to bring up the fact that their service to God came with a cost. You know, it's good when a man and a woman will love each other and do for each other and go out of the way for each other. And, you know, even put themselves in harm's way for each other. Well, when it comes to serving God, you know, our difficulties that we have are very pale in comparison to what they had. He even mentions Antipas, who was martyred for the truth of the Word of God. You know, I'm not convinced that a lot of people who talk about their soundness and their faithfulness even have a clue what they're talking about. You know, just the least little thing. It seems like that's all it takes for someone not to come to the house of God. Just the least little thing. I guess I may have had excuse not to come today. I thought I was going to throw up when I got out of bed. I didn't. And I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't even try. And then I thought, well, that's silly. I'll just go. I wanted to go, so I'll just go. I've learned over the years that people do what they want to do. And they're going to do what they want to do. You talk about different things, and you talk about people's lives, what they're doing and what they're not doing. Well, they're doing what they want to do, pretty much. The bride is faithful to Christ in the easy days like we live, and faithful in persecution. They're faithful. That's just what they do. They love the Lord. Now he says in verse 14, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel." Some in the church love the Lord enough to be faithful to Him and His Word. Don't tell me that you're faithful to God and you love God and then you want to go against the Word of God. Don't tell me that. You know, that's what I want to hear. They, in the church, there were those who were faithful enough to die for Christ. And then you have others like these who want to be like Balaam and teach a lie and somebody believe it, and then they go opposite of what God says. And not only that, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. Spiritual fornication. Is God going to marry a fornicator? Isn't that some of the people who he says will not enter into heaven? And then we're going to turn around and make a mockery of the bride and a mockery of the wedding to say that it doesn't matter whether you're a fornicator or not spiritually. It doesn't matter. I know some Baptists who don't give it a thought if they're out of town about this going to whatever kind of church and sitting there and listening into whatever. Well, I'd say, you say, well, you got to go somewhere. No, you don't. No, you'd be better off just to sit in your motel room and pray as you would go to a synagogue of Satan and involve yourself in that. These things, you know, they just don't seem important to people. But here we have in the Bible Jesus talking about them and telling us that one's ability to be in the bride can be made null and void because of spiritual adultery. Being involved with idols. I would say that a Baptist church, one of the Lord's churches, if they every year put up a Christmas tree up in the church building, I'd be afraid for that church. And would imagine that they lose their candlestick over such a thing, and then all those involved lose their place as far as being in the bride is concerned. And then maybe the church doesn't have a Christmas tree in the building, but maybe members here and there, they've got one at the house, you see. That's idolatry. That's fornication, spiritually. And that's what he's addressing the Pergamos church about. So hast thou them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Well, surprise, surprise. God doesn't love everybody and God doesn't love everything. He hates some things. And he hates false doctrines, and especially hates false doctrine when it comes into the church. Repent. Always space for repentance. And always space for repentance. Repent. Lord, I messed up. I shouldn't have done that. I know thy word says not to do that, and I did that. Forgive me. Change. I'll change. I'll never do that again. With your help, there's always space for repentance. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Well, sometimes people leave churches and groups of people leave churches and, you know, people may think, well, that was a terrible thing. God surely didn't want that. Well, did he? You take a group of troublemakers in a Baptist church trying to disrupt everything. God is quite able and obviously has come at various times and removed a person or a group of people from his churches because of their troublemaking and trying to split the church up. And then this group of people, they go off someplace else and brag about how they're going to be in the bride of Christ. Well, I can't imagine that. You see, I think a whole lot of people are going to be surprised, maybe, at the judgment seat. All this is brought out. And the Lord tells exactly what he thinks about it. Well, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Not the world, not every believer out there, but let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's what he's dealing with in these few chapters here in Revelation. This church truth concerning the bride of Christ. Now when he says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden man, and will give him a white stone, and the stone's new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. He's not talking about them losing their salvation. He's talking about, I believe, the bride of Christ. He's talking to those who overcome, that they live a faithful life according to thus saith the Lord in his church, and serve there faithfully to the best of their ability. He's talking about those who will have the added blessing of being in the bride of Christ. I mentioned, I think a few weeks ago, that that's a neither here nor there thing as far as some people are concerned. Well, I'm going to heaven. What could be better than going to heaven? I guess going to heaven and being in the bride of Christ, to the ultimate glory of Christ our Savior. Now, you might be sitting there waiting on me to tell you what the white stone is. I don't know what the white stone is. And I always imagine, since it's going to be a marriage, that it could possibly be equivalent to a wedding ring, but I'd not say that for sure. But I know that because of faithful service, those who practice the doctrine of Balaam and those who push the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, they won't have a white stone. They won't be living in New Jerusalem, but the faithful ones will. Those faithful ones that he spoke of. Under the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. That sounds good, doesn't it? You know, when God admonishes his churches here, it's interesting that he always brings out the good things first, doesn't he? And I think that's a good lesson for you and I to follow. If I jumped onto Roger every time I saw him. Never mentioned any good thing he did, but after a while, he'd probably get his feelings hurt. So remember that. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. It was against the commandment of God for women to lead and to speak in the assembly in a Baptist church. And it still is. It still is. I know that, I know of one church in particular that the women have a real hard time with this. They try to weasel around it every chance they get, but that's the way God has it. But they have this woman, Jezebel, referred to here, who calls herself a prophetess. God didn't call her one, she called herself one, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. God judging his own people in his New Testament churches. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. They're putting on, being put on display as far as the other churches are concerned. God judging them because of this sin. Now, you think Jezebel's going to be in the bride? I don't think so. What about those who followed after Jezebel? What about those who sat there in the pew and amen, Jezebel? What about those who had authority to set her down and not allow her in the pulpit? There's a whole lot of involvement here as far as Jezebel is concerned. And a church needs to be careful. The membership needs to be careful that they just don't follow along. You know, don't follow the crowd. Don't follow a multitude to do evil and just let it pass. I remember when I first started preaching that, you know, people didn't get by with a lot of things they say and do now. I remember sitting right there at a Bible conference here, and a preacher said something that wasn't right, and Joe Wilson yelled from the pew there, he said, "That's not right," and the whole thing stopped. And all of a sudden, there's two or three preachers involved, and Brother Hobbs up here involved. And he said, "No, that's not right." And the thing got straightened up right there. Yeah. He didn't get to finish what he was preaching. I think we've got to where we're kind of lacking in those kind of things. I remember going to church one time, and I knew something was going to be said, most likely, and I told my son Stephen, I said, "I'm going to start booing when people preach something wrong." He said, "You are?" And of course I didn't, but I thought, well, maybe, you know, maybe a person should call them down. Call them down. But anyway, no, Jezebel won't be in the bride. Or those who supported her won't be in the bride. He said, but I say unto you and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. There were those there that didn't believe that. You know, if this church doesn't believe something, that maybe some preacher comes in, he preaches something outlandish, and this church doesn't believe it, they ought to say they don't believe it. You know, if you have somebody here that's maybe a little bit unsure of what they believe, and they say, well, must be all right. Preachers in the church didn't say anything. Men in the church didn't say anything. Must be all right. Now we need to be careful. I'm not talking about being mean and harsh. But truth matters. Truth matters more than your feelings and my feelings. Truth matters more than whether you get to be right or wrong. Truth matters. Truth is what it's all about. He says, hold fast till I come. And here again, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Christ and his bride are going to rule and reign in the millennial reign, in a thousand-year reign, with a rod of iron. There are people who are going to be born into natural bodies during the millennial reign, and after a while, you'll have those on the earth who have not been born again. But Christ and his bride are not going to allow them to take over the world like they do now. You'll have, if you're in the bride, you'll have something to say about that. You ever wonder, if I'm in the bride, I wonder where I'll rule. Wonder where my reign will be with Christ. Hard to say. But the bride, and only the bride, will have this privilege with Christ. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So these things matter. The bride of Christ matters. And it matters because, as I've said previously, that the glory of God is the objective, and that over the whole world God be glorified, and the bride be with him. Now, some, I believe, take the bride of Christ a little bit too far, and you know, I've heard things said about the bride of Christ, her being referred to as the Queen of Heaven. I don't like that term. And that this Queen of Heaven is going to have such power and prominence that she even be worshipped. Well, that'll never happen. I think if your desire to be in the bride of Christ is stemmed from a desire to be worshipped, then I think you probably have excluded yourself from being in the bride of Christ. It's all about Him. It's all about Christ. Unto the angel of the church at Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Be careful. If you think you're standing, lest you fall. Here, Jesus talks about works that are ready to die. It's teetering on the edge. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. Talking about their church clothes? No. Not talking about that. I'm not talking about the Sardians going out after Sunday school, playing in the mud and getting dirty and coming back. It's talking about those wedding garments. Don't defile those garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And there's no question that the message to all these churches is their possibility of not being in the bride of Christ because of sin and rebellion, witchcraft, idolatry, and all these things. The Lord is looking for a pure woman that He'll marry. A woman that he'll not be ashamed of to introduce to his Father. I remember I went out with a girl one time that was had a well-known name and wasn't a very nice girl. And I didn't run home tell my mother I was going to take this girl on a date because I know what I would have hurt. But she found out anyway. I can't believe you went out with that girl. There was no pride there or anything like that, you know. But I think they'll, at the judgment seat and all the bad works are cast into the fire and the bride comes through that, then when the son says to his father, here's my bride, here's my bride, I love her, she loves me, what a wonderful bride she is, she's been so faithful to me, that's what kind of bride Jesus is going to have. I'm going to stop there.